The Wizard of Oz, the classic MGM musical by L. Frank Baum, is the current production by the Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble at the Alvina Krauss Theatre in Bloomsburg, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. through December the 29th. This production of The Wizard of Oz is directed by Richard Canaday, who came to the WVIA Williamsport studio to tell us more about this ambitious project.
For Christmas, we generally produce something that has to do with Christmas, but we felt like this was such a joyous sort of story to tell. And I feel like a lot of people associate it with the holiday season. And so it just made a lot of sense. And there was a big open spot in the calendar because Thanksgiving was so early that it really felt like this was the year to do a musical, if we were going to do one at all.
But The Wizard of Oz, it's been part of the lexicon for at least 80 years or so?
Over 100 now, yeah.
Over 100 years.
I think it was 1902... Just at the turn of the century, L. Frank Baum wrote the story.
And I know the film came out in the 1940s?
Late 30s. I think it was 39. Yeah, I think that everyone sort of feels their own connection to the story, and, you know, most especially the movie, but the story itself, the American fairy tale that L. Frank Baum set out to write, it continues to be reinterpreted, and it continues to be really... You can see Dorothy and her friends show up in lots of art. You know, it's something that I think has had a lasting impression on individuals and on storytelling.
But it being such an iconic piece, do you tackle it with reverence? Do you tackle it by saying, let's have fun with it? How on earth do you approach it?
That's a great question. For this one, we definitely approached it with let's have fun with it. The script was written by the Royal Shakespeare Company back in 1987. Some of the music was expanded, but it is really the MGM musical that everybody knows. And so there was already some additional interpretation, but we had a lot of fun with it. And I think that there are some things from the movie that I think we showed a lot of reverence to. And there are other things, you know, it's a different medium. We don't have those, you know, huge MGM studios. We don't have the ability for close-ups, for example. You know, one of my memories is being able to see Jack Haley's silver makeup go all the way to the edge of his eye. That's not the same in theater. So you have to be reverent to certain things, but there are other things that you can really interpret. And I think we did a balance of both. I think that we interpreted a lot of elements from the film and from the story and kind of made them more accessible for today. All of the favorite music is there, and we're really lucky to have a collaborator in Steve Gilliland in Bloomsburg, because he was the music supervisor and took that music, which is very wonderful and very iconic, and he makes hip music for a living. He's a cool guy. And so he steered us away from things that could have been cheesy and steered us toward a really cool sort of modern in places sound. And of course, there are the traditional sounds as well. But we felt like, especially for kids who are seeing this for the first time, which there are a lot of, I've been shocked how many kids don't know the story and don't know the movie anymore. We wanted to make sure that it was going to be exciting for them and for the moms and grandmas and grandpas that brought them to the show.
We imagine Dorothy as a little girl, but in the film she's played by distinctly a teenager.
Yes. Yeah, Judy Garland, I guess, was 16 did that. We thought a lot about Dorothy and what was the best route to go with the casting for Dorothy. Luckily, we had a great relationship with an actor named Morgan Mackenzie Kaufman, who came to work with us last year on our production of The Diary of Anne Frank. And she's just a real earnest type, the kind of really good, really present young actor. And when it came time to cast our interns this year, she was available and interested, and she fits Dorothy great. You know, she's sort of a Spitfire style Dorothy. You know, when you have somebody at the front of a play like that, you have to build the play around that performance to a certain extent. And our Dorothy is not the kind who like hangs back in tears. She's really proactive to the point where she's always leading Toto along and stuffing straw back in the scarecrow and oiling the Tin Man and wiping the lion's nose. So she's a real capable sort of Dorothy. And I think that makes for a really present production. You know, it's happening right now. It's not on film. It's not something that happened 100 years ago. You know, it's happening right this minute. And for Dorothy to be as present and frankly strong as she is, it has been a real gift to the production.
I should imagine that's one of the more serious parts to play, in that other parts must just be huge amounts of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Dorothy's having fun, too. I think that it's sort of a fun production. It's almost Shakespearean in a certain way, because the audience comes in with such expectations. I think that my job is to find the version of each of the actors' performances that feed the story the best and say yes to the good ideas. And as you say yes to the good ideas, the bad ideas will kind of melt away. You'll forget about them. And so there's something very Danny Roth about our Cowardly Lion. And he's got some winks to the movie, but he's also making it his own thing, too. It's the same with Eric as the Tin Man and Andy as the Wizard. When we first talked about doing this play, I just became very enamored with the idea of our company playing these iconic roles. Elizabeth Dowd, for example, does a great Margaret Hamilton impression. There's some of that left in the play, but she also, you know, throughout the rehearsal process, made the Wicked Witch her own thing, which is, I think, the best thing you can ask for, to be informed by the story, the iconography that we love so well, but to also make it something that's present.
Because that must be a tremendous difficulty or temptation to sort of ape the film that is so iconic.
It is, yeah. When I was a young actor, it was actually, I guess it was my first paid gig, my first onstage paid gig. I was in a production of The Wizard of Oz that certain elements seemed like a real copycat of the movie. The costuming was to a T. It just looked like the movie in an impressive way, but it ends up being sort of more of a pageant than a storytelling endeavor. And then the things that weren't possible for them to be like the movie felt really incongruent with the rest of the production. So I think our production does a pretty good job right at the very beginning of saying this is not going to be the movie. And it can't be. It's a different form.
You're not going to start in black and white and go to color.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because we do sort of start with very muted, earthy tones. And Dorothy even has a costume change as she goes to Oz. She starts off in a sort of drab yellow. She's in that all the way through the storm. And then in the very last seconds of the storm, her dress rips away to reveal her blue gingham jumper that she's got underneath. It's really fun. It's really fun to play with the surprises like those. And lots of things undergo physical change when they go to Oz as well. Dorothy's wicker basket that she's been carrying turns into a woven purse. And her little dog, who's played by Oakley, and Oakley is a 3-year-old terrier mix. Toto, when she goes to Oz, turns into a little girl in a dog costume because, you know, why not? It's super cute. And our Toto's a little more like a Snoopy type. You know, she's this sentient little dog that walks around on her hind legs and gets into trouble. So there are certain things that you want to respect exactly what the story is asking of it. And I think that those physical transformations make Oz even more magical. And we have to find ways to like build that magic because, again, you know, we don't have a way to like fly somebody on a bike. It's not the same animal as a movie or even a bigger budget play. You know, we're a small regional theater. So really, I think the focus is on the performances and on the goodwill surround. You know, it's really fun to be in the audience because people are just loving it. It's just, they're hooping and hollering. It's been great.
Well, I think it's very often, if you yield too much to the whiz-pow magical things, you can lose the story.
Absolutely. And it's also, it's easy to get ahead of yourself when you're trying to tell a story like this, but, you know, we had really particular conversations in the rehearsal room. The moments when Dorothy meets the Scarecrow are very tender, and even though we as the audience know, oh, that's her first friend, she's going to make friends with him, and then they're going to go on the journey together. You still have to have the true interaction that makes it real, that our hero is going to trust this, you know, sack of straw. And so even though it's something that we all kind of expect to happen, my job is to make sure that it happens legitimately and that it doesn't feel like skimming over what is the nut of the story.
Huge cast.
Yeah.
How are you going to fit everybody on the stage is my first thought. Loads of small people.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, we hold auditions for our summer plays and most of our Christmas plays. We had about 48 kids come out to try out for the play. You know, we've only got so many dressing rooms and so much space. So I ended up casting 30 local kids. So there are 15 on each team. So any given night, there are 15 kids and our cast of adults. And it's putting all of our systems to the test in a certain way, although it's not quite as many folks who were in Charlotte's Web this summer. So, but yeah, it's really cool to meet all of these kids. And, you know, a lot of the kids have been in several productions. You know, we've got a couple of kids who are like real crackerjack. And then there's other kids who this is their very first play. And in some cases are a little too young to even understand. Our little Totos have, at least one of them, I'm certain, has not seen The Wizard of Oz. She said, "Mom, I think it might be too grown up for me." She's 5. She's a real sweetheart. It's funny to work with the kids at all different abilities. They're all having an individual, singular experience, and we ask them to be responsible to do things the same from night to night. And they do a killer job with it. I mean, it's 38 performances, so each of these kids is doing it like 16 times, and it's hard to teach that, well, you know, the audience is seeing this for the first time, so every time has to be like it's your best. But it's been really exciting to see them come along with it. And the kids are responsible for a lot of stuff. They are the primary vocalists in the Munchkinland sequence. And they're killing it.
And this is a long run. You began on November the 23rd. You're going through to December the 29th. Now, when are you not going to be performing around Christmas?
So we have a performance on Sunday the 23rd at 3 o'clock. And then we pick up again after Christmas with a performance on the evening of Wednesday the 26th. And then we also have our regular Thursday and Friday and Saturday performances at 7:30. So we don't do our Sunday on the 30th. We closed on the 29th because we added the Wednesday. We found that Boxing Day tends to be a good day for families to come out.
Is there anything else you want to talk about the production?
Well, yeah, I'd love to talk about the design elements. Our lighting designer, Zach Knoll, I've worked with Zach for many years on lots of different plays, and I feel like this is among his best light designs. Because very early on, we were really specific about saying, like, look, we're not going to copycat the movie. The set designer, Michael Yurgis, and I had a lot of conversations about, you know, how do we show just enough to recall the movie, and how do we seamlessly move from thing to thing without large scene changes and things, especially since I think people are used to the rhythm of the movie. I think that a long scene change time and time again could be a real pace killer. So as we started to hone in on what that was going to be like, the lighting design became very, very important because it tells a lot of the story in terms of where we are in each place. And then we just went further and further. So the yellow brick road is actually like these beautiful moving lights that Dorothy, you know, chases around the space.
Oh, what an exciting way of doing it.
Yeah, it's very, very beautiful. And we sort of reinterpreted a lot of those things. You know, we don't have a lot of wing space at our theater, so what you see is what you get. So the suggestion of things, I think, was really important. And I think that Elizabeth Whistler, who is our costume designer, did a really, really incredible job winking at the movie, making the kinds of references that you'd like to see, but making the costumes manageable and durable and beautiful. Some of the costuming is really, really nice. You've never seen a Wicked Witch like this before. I don't think you've ever seen a Dorothy like this before. I think that Elizabeth did a great job with making the costumes just something like a real marvel. Ani Kirchner did the props design. She's also our stage manager, so she's like doing crazy double duty. And I was just really thrilled with our design team for this one. And then, of course, Steve Gilliland and I put the music and sounds together and just had a blast doing it. You know, it was so much fun. When you're working on material like this, there's so many references. You know, everywhere you go, you can see cosplay interpretations of the costumes and, you know, covers of the songs and things. And so it's never a question of how can we do this. It's always a question of, well, which way will we do this? Which are the things that tell the story the way we want to? So I was lucky to have just a great team of actors and designers and everybody. I'm just really, really lucky to be the director of this play.
Sounds really enjoyable. And as you say, it does feel like the way you'd handle Shakespeare, which is also something that's so familiar to us, but you've got to do it in a style that is both respectful and interesting.
Absolutely. You know, I think that I have a lot of respect for the people who put together Shakespeare that is done in a very traditional way, you know, with natural light and full folio. But that ain't this. And I think that the audiences probably can pull some of those same themes out of seeing a traditional Shakespeare. We took a couple of very small but very meaningful liberties with Dorothy, for example. Her speech to Glinda at the end, she, you know, in the movie and in the script, this is what we're supposed to say. So maybe I shouldn't be saying this on the radio, but the line is supposed to be, "And if I ever go searching for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard. Because if it isn't there, I never really lost it in the first place." But we thought, like, what is that story for girls, my own backyard? Like, really, do we really think that Dorothy had this big adventure and now she's come back and she's like, "Hey, guess what, guys? I don't ever want to adventure again. I never want to go any place. Like, my own backyard is enough." No, no, the story is, and I think it's more congruent with what we changed it to, which is, "And if I ever go searching for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than inside myself. Because if it isn't there, then I never really lost it in the first place." And Laurie McCants pointed out this is something that's really present in the story as well, because the interpretation is that Dorothy had a dream. So, of course, all of these things that she experienced are already within her. And so if the story is that she's always had the power and that it's not really about the shoes or about anything, it's really about the strength that Dorothy finds. And so when you're taking liberties with, like, putting hip-hop beats to "If I Only Had a Heart," it would feel incongruent for us to not also update some of those sentiments. So our Dorothy is a little pluckier and a little spunkier and a little more independent, I think, than some Dorothys that you might see. But that's another production. There are thousands of productions, and people all find different ways to make it magical again.
Richard Canaday speaking about the current production by the Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble, The Wizard of Oz, at the Alvina Krauss Theatre, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. with Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. through December the 29th. For tickets and more information, visit bte.org. Thank you very much to Richard Canaday.
And to you, WVIA's Fiona Powell.